right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Dever Gets Red Pilled, episode 200. We made it. It's pretty incredible. 3+ years, 200 episodes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we did it, but I think for now we're going to keep going. But guys, we are a value for value production. So if you feel like we're providing you with any value, go ahead and find the links in the show notes to give some value back to us. Time, talent, treasure, or just a 5-star review. That's great. Hopefully everyone is enjoying us being back. Trying to get November booked out and got some interesting stuff coming up. Should have a good one today. Unfortunately, for the big 200, Deborah could not make it. We're kind of just trying to get some scheduling stuff figured out. The time that works well for me does not work for her. So we're going to switch it around. This should not be an issue going forward. But we have a good guest today, and sometimes when she's not here, we get to go a little bit deeper. A lot of the times when we're going real deep, she just sits there and doesn't ask questions, even though I know she doesn't know what's going on. So I want to kind of make sure that she's along for the ride on everything we do. But other than that, we really, really appreciate everyone that has been around for any of this crazy ride that we've been on. And I'm glad I was able to get that sentence out without using the word journey, because I don't care for that word. But yeah, everything's good. Farm's good, life's good. So hopefully everyone out there is doing well and enjoying what we can do. If anybody out there has some ideas for parapolitical shows, or even wants to be a guest and can tell us about some stuff, shoot me an email or a DM, whatever you want. And yeah, like our guest today is a longtime listener, and she has some information on a topic that interests me. So we're gonna get to it. So be right back, guys. Thank you for being here.
Awesome.
All right, guys, we're back, and we're here with our guest today, who is actually a longtime listener of the show. And yeah, we're happy to have you here, Amy Lane. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you, Adam?
Oh, we're good. We're happy to have you here. And yeah, excited to get into the topic today. But but before we do that, it's thank you for being here for episode 200. I know people usually do have big, like, panel shows and stuff for this, but for this one, it's just us two, no Deborah, unfortunately. But maybe we can go a little deeper with just the two of us.
Yeah, I believe so. And I just want to say, you guys are my favorite podcast.
Oh wow,
you got me inspired into podcasting in the first place. I was more on DLive as a streamer, kind of in a smaller community where you get to know people really well. And then I started listening to podcasts as kind of a solitary kind of away from all that kind of thing. And it's kind of saved me, because I've done some incredible research on my own, and I love it. So thank you guys so much. You're awesome.
Yeah. I'm really excited to do this. And just in the intro, I was just saying to everybody, if there's anybody out there that's a listener that has some cool parapolitical or weird stuff that they've been looking into that they want to come talk to us about, I think that's a great interface to do with fans, to have people come on the show that know stuff, because I'm not able to do a ton of research, but I know a little bit about everything. And do you do a lot of your own research on stuff and get deep into single topics?
Yeah, I mean, I've been awake for the last 10 years. So I was basically kind of a liberal. I grew up in a conservative family, but I was liberal in terms of, like, I grew up in the Bush years in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I obviously kind of was more liberal at that time. And then I went into college. I went to a liberal arts college in Colorado. That's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to graduate school for political science. And it was at that time that I woke up to what we know. And so then at that point, when I was in graduate school, I kind of realized everything was fake and a joke. And so that's when I started traveling.
Was
So,
there one thing when you were in grad school that did it, where it just was the straw that broke the camel's back, where you just like popped out of your slumber?
so I was kind of in a low place in my life, and I was kind of near, if you guys or you guys know Dulce Base, like
Yeah.
where that is. So I was living near there, and I kind of just like I watched the London Olympics, and I had this like eureka moment where I realized that the London Olympics was a massive occult ritual in front of my
The
eyes.
whole thing.
Yeah, you know the opening ceremonies with the
Yeah.
pyramids and the Voldemort and all
Is
that
that the one
stuff.
where they had like the hospital beds and the
Yes,
vaccinations
the
and all?
pre-COVID programming, yes.
And that's 2012.
That was 2012. I was 24 years old,
Yeah.
and I was totally steeped in the liberal arts, you know, kind of background. So
Yeah.
it was my own self-discovery, my self-esteem improved because I realized like doing research on your own is much better than relying on other people's opinions and dogma and indoctrination. So that's kind of where I started. And then
Did you finish grad school?
I did, yeah. I graduated in 2014, and then 2015, I moved to Thailand. And I was teaching English, and I lived there for 2 years. And it was the best time of my life. I'm so glad I did it. And it's a beautiful country. It's an awesome place. And then I got kind of sick of being over there because like I hadn't seen my family in 2 years. So I came home to the States. I was here for a year. Then I moved to Budapest, Hungary.
Wow.
And I was there for a year. And I moved there because I kind of knew they were based about things and they experienced communism, and I wanted to kind of be in a place like that.
Yeah.
So I was there for a year, and then I hated my job. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna leave Europe. I have a bad feeling about being in Europe. It was during the Ukraine war. I was like, I don't really want to be, you know, near Ukraine when this is happening. So then I moved back to the States for a couple months, and then I went back to Thailand right when patient zero of COVID happened in China.
Yeah.
So I
That's like the
was
fall. That's like the fall.
the
Or is that
fall of
winter? Yeah,
civilization.
the fall of civilization, winter of 2019, maybe, right before 2020, or
2019. Yeah, it was November was when I got to Shanghai in Thailand, and then yeah, there was a couple months of normalcy in Thailand, and then everything fell apart. And
yeah.
so I wanted to live there the rest of my life. And it's crazy. I don't really want to talk about it, but basically my dad died when I was in Thailand. And they said his death was a COVID death, but they didn't make my mom pay any hospital bills. I'll just say
Yeah,
that.
gotcha.
So I didn't get to go to my dad's funeral. I said goodbye to him on a phone call.
Oh, man.
And then I was over there, and then that's when the whole vaccine mandate stuff started happening.
Thailand was
So,
pretty, Southeast Asia was pretty rough for all that stuff, right?
the first year, actually, no. The first year when you guys were locked down, we were totally not locked down. We were like free. We didn't have to wear masks when I taught at the school. And then right when you guys opened up and China locked down, we locked down. So then I moved to Chiang Mai in the summer of 2021. And then after that, they were like, okay, who's taking the vaccine? Everybody raise your hand. And I was like, I'm out of here. Like, I can't do this. Especially after the way my father was, you know, done wrong. And so I left Thailand in haste. I just made an excuse and I got out of there because literally, Adam, when I was on the plane, there was a guy sitting next to me that had three masks on, and everyone was compulsively sanitizing their hands.
Yeah.
And I was like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, I've literally seen a country I loved and worshipped fall to ruin and like brainwashing. And I met only one Thai person the entire time I was there that was against the vaccine mandate. And
Wow.
they were married to a foreigner. So, yeah, so I left Thailand in haste. And then I came back here 2 years ago, and I've been back here for 2 years in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Puerto Rico, the spring of 2022, and man, it was
You said it was mask heavy, right?
mask heavy big time. I saw it like on the plane, and then I remember I was on the we flew to New York, and it was after all the mandates had been lifted, and in at the airport in New York, they still had the constant thing over the PA system, like every 3 minutes that you're required to wear a mask and stuff, even though it wasn't still. And then from New York to Seattle, I mean, you can imagine what that flight was like. There was the guy in front of me and the guy in front of me one aisle over. I could see both their screens of what they were watching. They were not related to each other. They didn't know each other. They were both wearing two masks, and they were both watching Al Gore's 2008 piece of Beautiful Propaganda and Inconvenient
Inconvenient
Truth.
Truth.
Yeah, dude, it's
Oh
crazy. So,
my God. Wow.
yeah.
I mean, and I love, like I said, I love Thailand. I love the people. I love the language, everything about it. But like when it was that point, and I was 6 hours from the border of China, and I had seen kind of the Chinese influence kind of creep in, not only to Thailand, but also to Europe. People talk about Hungary being really strict about their immigration, but when I was in Hungary, there was a shit ton of Chinese.
Yeah.
And actually, the Chinese, they own a mansion on my street.
Wow.
So, they're everywhere. And a lot of them are just people that have left the oppression. So, yeah. So that's kind of my background, and just a lot to unpack. And yeah, I just. Do you have any questions about that before we start on kind of finger?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's
Okay.
great little give us an getting us an idea of who you are and where you're from. But today we're here to talk about Kenneth Anger, who is a figure that, I kind of know a little bit about, whose name seems to pop up all over the place, but nobody gets like really that deep into it. But it comes up in all these things, like it comes up with like Crowley, Jack Parsons, and then all the way into the Manson murders and everything like that. So he's definitely influential and has been around for a long time. I think he's dead now, right? You got me, Amy?
He died. Are you there? Sorry,
Yeah,
let me
yeah.
turn off my camera. It just dropped.
Okay.
Okay, you're good. So basically, Kenneth Anger is this kind of nexus of Luciferianism, Thelemaism, or Thelemite. He's a
Yes.
Thelemite. So Crowley is his number one MO, and that's kind of what everything that he does is through that lens of Crowleyism. So it's very important to his story, and I will kind of elaborate upon that. But basically, have you ever heard of Mike Williams, the
No.
Sage of
Oh,
Coyote?
yeah, I know Sage
Okay,
of
yeah,
Coyote.
he's a he, Sage of Coyote. Yeah, he's a great guy. He does amazing research on Paul is Dead, Billy Shears, the memoirs of Billy Shears, that whole conspiracy, and he talks about the Aeon of Horus. And so basically, people kind of misinterpret. They kind of conflate Satanism with Luciferianism, and they're
Okay.
actually quite different. And so that's what people don't realize. And so basically, Anger was a Luciferian, and Luciferians worship Horus, aka Lucifer. And so Anger, and I'm going to talk about Kinsey as well, if you have time for that, because
Yeah,
I.
I don't want to say I love talking about Kinsey, but it's a
No, it's
topic
terrible.
that greatly interests me, even though it's a horrific topic
And
to get
it's.
into. It's so crazy. My wife went to college for, she just like every other millennial girl got a degree in psychology or whatever, and never put it to use. But I asked her, I was like, did they teach you about Kinsey in in your psych classes? And she was like, yeah. And I was just like, what about it? And she's just like, oh, that he was just like for sexual liberation and kind of shaped what, you know, like the sex, what America's ideal or the ideas on sex are in, you know, the later part of the 20th and 21st centuries, you know, just got us to where we are now to drop all the taboos and stuff like that, but nothing, you know, too bad. And then it's like, oh, and then I listened to like Sean McCann talk about him, and then I find out that he like hung himself by his nutsack and died of an
That's how he
infection or
died.
something from it. So it's like,
And
man.
yeah, and also from the Sean McCann podcast, he circumcised himself with a dull pocket knife. So
Yeah. And
this is
all
obviously a
these.
very disturbed individual who is creating policy not just for the United States, but for the entire world in terms of sex education and kind of changing the norms. Okay. So I will talk about that.
He's
So
a
basically,
and for everybody to know, he was a zoologist. He wasn't even like a psychologist.
he started out as a zoologist, but at the same time, he saw humans as being animals.
Right.
And so that was his whole kind of Freudian kind of bent. So both Anger and Kinsey both approach the Anne of Horus, but just from different angles. So Anger approaches it from an entertainment, homoerotic film, surreal kind of background. And Kinsey approaches it from a scientific, psychological, and sexuality angle. And both wanted the same goal. And I watched your last podcast about Tavistock, which is very, very important to this whole story. And Tavistock's abolition of the family life, institution of marriage, and the communal education of children. So that's what I feel like they kind of fall under that branch. Both paid homage to Crowley at the Abbey of Thelema in Sicily, and that's where they met.
Got it.
So it's a very twisted story. Okay, so I'm gonna start with Anger because a lot of people don't really know much about him, like you were saying. They hear about him, but he's not really solid. So what he talks about is that film itself is a dark occult practice. It's a black magic practice, and that is an evil medium because it's basically influencing people's minds in a direction that they want it to go, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
So I'm gonna kind of use a lot of quotes from him because I think it's very important. He said, "I've always considered movies evil. The day that cinema was invented was a black day for mankind." So we come to 2023 with Disney and I don't know, the trans Paco Taco and all these agendas that are kind of just fusing all at a nexus. And I don't know, like, what do you think, Adam, about all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the, especially Disney, I think that there's definitely a agenda that's being pushed, and it's not, you know, the agenda that it's, they're losing millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, and it's not anything that anybody wants, and they're not making any money, but they keep putting it out. And I don't know if it's because it's the agenda that they need to push, if nobody's creative enough to do anything. I've been listening to what's the guy that does all the stuff on superheroes. Oh, what's his name? He was just on Christopher Knowles, The
Oh,
Secret Sun.
I don't know
Yeah.
him.
And it's pretty interesting. So
Okay, so Anger was born pretty early on. I think I can't actually I don't actually have sorry, I have 19 pages of notes, but I don't actually
okay.
have when he was born. But basically he claims that he was in A Midsummer Night's Dream of 1933 as a child.
Okay, yeah, he was a child actor.
So he claims that his grandmother worked costumes for Valentino, And then he's obsessed with old Hollywood. So that's why he writes Hollywood Babylon, which is kind of what he got known for, and he made a lot of money with that. So he started making short films as a child at age 10. So what kind of kid is making real films at age 10? So I
Yeah.
kind of feel like he was connected and he was kind of positioned for this role.
Yeah, and it like today it would be as something that a kid could do, but in the 40s or late 30s, who
Exactly.
how would you
The
have
tech,
access to all that stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't really make much sense. So he experienced, as a teen, he experienced deep interest in the Golden Bough, which is like Rosicrucianism and early occult kind of teachings, and Eliphas Levi and the Wizard of Oz. So he was always into the occult because he grew up in a kind of Christian family where he didn't really like vibe with it. And then as a young adult, he was openly homosexual at a time it was illegal in the United States. So just like Kinsey, very much this kind of like disrupting heteronormative roles and heteronormative society.
Crowley kind of has the same story as well.
Yes, Crowley did the first Babylon working with a guy in the deserts of Egypt, right?
Yeah, but he was also from like a real strict religious home, and his mom was the one that gave him the name the Beast when he was in his early teens or something, because he was messing around with their maid or something like that.
And so Kenneth Anger says Lucifer is the rebel angel behind what is happening in the world today, whose message is the key of joy is disobedience. So it's all about that whole being an individual, the age of Aquarius, being better than God, being God itself. That's kind of what Thelema is all about. So he was caught in a gay entrapment scheme about 1718, and it was at this time he changed his name from Engelmeyer to Anger. And then he was kicked out of the house. He has a grandma that supports him. He always has these like wealthy benefactors and foundations to support him. At that time, he meets Curtis Harrington, who introduces him to the concepts of Crowley. And at that time, that's what he really adheres to. And it becomes, like I said, the message for his entire life. Okay, so this is when it gets interesting. So his first well-known film after the films he make when he's a child are Fireworks, 1947. When he plays, he's really about playing himself, kind of like Neil Breen or Tommy Wiseau, where they're like obsessed with themselves. So he always has to be in his own movies, kind of like Hitchcock. And so he plays himself as a young man who associates with Navy sailors. So it's the sailor
Yeah.
homoerotic kind of theme. And then they beat the shit out of him, they kill him, and then they rip apart his chest to find a burning compass inside. So this is 1947, right after the war. There's all these obscenity laws and sodomy laws. Fireworks was decreed as obscene and the case was brought to the Supreme Court. But just like with all the other elites, at the very last second, he gets off scot-free. Like, there's no consequence to anything. And then he claimed it was art, not pornography. So that was kind of his thing.
Where were they showing these? Were these films getting played in like n
Underground. They were
Got it.
underground. Yeah. Like, okay, basically with him, there's footage that's deleted, there's footage that's lost, there's footage that's burned. Usually in his films, only a few scenes are even produced, like for feature. So there's always this element of chaos with him. Like, they're funding him, but what is he really accomplishing or doing with his life, kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so in 1950, let me see, let me make sure. Yeah, so he makes a few more films that aren't commercially successful. And then he moves to 1950 in Paris, where he meets a Jean Cocteau, who was one of the surrealists. And I did a podcast on the Black Dahlia and surrealism. And basically, surrealism is it is some kind of weird cult where I believe everyone in that syndicate was tied to the Black Dahlia murder through my
Wow.
research. Yeah. So I know you guys are into true crime a lot. So
Yeah.
that was kind of my first true crime expose. And then also Kenneth Anger published the photos from the Black Dahlia in Hollywood Babylon, the very graphic photos.
Yeah, the
So
one, it's just like the torso, pretty much.
yeah. And Curtis Harrington, who's tied to him, is also tied to Charles Manson. So it's all interconnected. Okay. So the next film he makes is a film about Cardinal d'Este, who was apparently this priest in Jesuit priest or something, who had sex with animals, with goats, and liked to get off on golden showers. So Kenneth Anger puts that in his films, and then he actually says that this guy is actually a pervert. I don't approve of him. And actually, that's a whole reference to the Baphomet thing.
Yeah.
And so I just want to read you really quick this. The goat god Agapon was nurtured by Amalthea and the infant Zeus in Crete. In Zeus's battle with Typhon, Agapon and Hermes stole back Zeus's sinews that Typhon had hidden away. Pan aided, and like it's this Curlyism is a lot of Pan worship. So Pan aided his foster brother in battle with the Titans by letting out a horrible screech and scattering them in terror. According to some traditions, Agapon was the son of Pan rather than his father. The constellation Capricornus is depicted as a sea goat. There is a connection between Pan and Capricorn. That Agapon, in his goat god aspect, was attacked by the monster Typhon. He dived into the river Nile with his parts above the water remaining goat, but the parts below becoming fish. This ties directly to the Isis Osiris Horus Set myth, with the 14 parts being thrown into the water, and Typhon is a crocodile associated with Osiris's phallus. So that's kind of why they're so obsessed with Typhon and Pan. What Kenneth Anger says is that Thelema is a solar phallic religion, whereas Wicca is a lunar feminine religion, if that makes sense. It's very distinguished.
Yeah.
So, okay. So he makes his first film that really breaks commercial success is Inauguration of the Pleasure Dome, which is kind of like, do you know Ed Wood? Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he's the guy that
Yeah.
made Plan 9.
Yes. And he was a cross-dresser.
Yeah, I didn't know
So,
that.
yeah.
Does
Watch
I know they made that
Ed
Johnny.
Wood by Tim Burton. That's his best film.
It's got Johnny Depp in it, right? As Ed Wood.
Johnny Depp, Sarah Jessica Parker. I can't remember who plays Bela Lugosi, but it's a great film. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check it out. I've never seen, I know I've seen, I've seen it for years and years, but I've never watched it.
It's really, really good. So it's kind of like that. So you were talking about Jack Parsons earlier, and
Yeah.
Marjorie Cameron, who was Jack Parsons' Scarlet Woman,
Yeah.
who did the second magical working. She not only was in this film and plays a Scarlet Woman, but she also lived with Anger and was his very good friend. So, like I said, Kenneth Anger is tied to absolutely everybody in Hollywood and popular culture. Like, I'm going to get into the Stones, Bobby Beausoleil, and the Mansons.
Yeah. Have you seen that Jack Parsons show on as Amazon or Hulu yet?
I haven't. I read that book actually. I did a 20-page paper on Jack Parsons, so I'd be interesting. It would be
Is the
interesting to
book
watch
called
it.
Strange Angel?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know it was after a book.
Yeah, there's a couple books about him, and he was the same. He was a Thelemite, and I believe he was kind of sacrificed, honestly, because of the way he died.
Yeah, I mean he got blown up. My I was at my I was visiting my sister and my brother-in-law for Christmas, and we went to my brother-in-law's family for Christmas Day, and his sister was telling me about her dad who'd passed away. They're like a divorced married family, so it's all complicated. It's my brother-in-law's stepsister, And she's like, she was telling me her dad was like this really genius astrophysicist, and he worked for JPL. And I go, oh wow, did he
Jack
know?
Parsons
I go,
Lab.
did he know Jack? Did he know Jack Parsons? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, whoa, that's wild.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he basically invented solid rocket fuel for World
Yeah.
War II. So,
Yeah.
I mean, he has a legacy in science, but also in the OTO and Thelema.
Yeah.
So really quickly, I want to talk about Hollywood Vagabond. I did not read it when I had done my podcast, but then when you invited me on your show, I did read it just to kind of see what it was about. And basically, it's crazy, but like I used to love old Hollywood, and now what I'm realizing, everything that happens today with the stars, like the drug overdoses, the weird murders, you know, all that stuff happened then. And it was even more lurid and at a time when things were so much more repressed, so-called.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I
nothing
mean
new
like
under the
the
sun,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know?
Like the Harvey Weinstein stuff that's just how business got done at the casting couch was it's, everybody knew about
Yeah.
that.
So Fatty Arbuckle, he was this comedian. He raped a woman with a beer bottle, apparently,
Yeah, and it
lacerated her bladder, and she
broke
died.
inside of her. Yeah, I heard
Yeah.
about that. And who
And so he got off scot-free as well.
I can't remember. I think there was multiple people there. There's some a couple other famous people there too, maybe.
Yeah, it was a party. And it was just really fucked up. So also there was another guy named Wallace Reed, who he was like a really famous kind of handsome boy, like good old boy star. And he ended up becoming addicted to heroin, and they locked him in solitary confinement in a padded cell when he was 20, and he died at age 30 in that same cell.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had no idea. So this shit was going on way before we realized. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Charlie Chaplin. We all know him. He literally had his eyes on a 7-year-old girl, and he groomed her till she was 14, 15, and he got her pregnant at age 15.
Dark.
Yeah, so anyway,
So
so
who wrote Hollywood Babylon?
Kenneth Anger.
Oh, he wrote it. So is it
Yes.
it's like an exposé of Hollywood, or is it a fictionalized account?
So it's kind of a gossip thing, and so a lot of people say the claims are disputed. Like Gloria Swanson sued him for the claims he made, but I believe, like when I read it, it just reads to me like he's Luciferian, and it's kind of like they have to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it to you.
Yeah,
And he's
revelation
actually
of the
telling,
method.
yes, and he's telling you exactly the truth of Hollywood and how deep, like seedy and bad it is.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's kind of a truth gem, from what I've found. And then Frances Farmer, she like died, and she was kind of the first Britney Spears. Like her road to ruin was just one little incident, you know.
Yeah.
So
Does he talk about
yeah.
Marilyn Monroe in it?
I think he talks about that in Hollywood Babylon too.
Okay.
Yeah. So after he gets notoriety for Hollywood Babylon 2, then he decides to go into a new subgenre, which is the motorcycle gangs of the 1950s. Like kind of like the Hell's Angels and that kind of cult. And so he makes this film called Scorpio Rising, and Scorpio is a sign of death. So it's all about death. And this whole movie is imbued with like severe homoeroticism,
Yeah,
like
and it's kind of one of
super
those like
hardcore.
biker exploitation films that they were making in this is in the
Yeah.
50s, huh? I know they made a ton of those in the 60s.
Like late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And so basically it's this Richard McCauley character who's aka Scorpio, and he's smoking meth, he's derelicting a church or desecrating a church. And it's weird because Kenneth Anger will splice like things into his films, like footage from cheap religious films, like the Ten Commandments, and then also Nazi shit. So it's like Nazi shit, Jesus, and then like weird pop music, like Wipeout by the Safaris. So it's just like his films are like an acid trip, basically. What that's the only thing I could liken them to because of the way he utilizes color. He'll layer images on top of images way before people were doing it. So he was kind of state of the art. And he describes Scorpio Rising as a death mirror held up to American culture, Thanatos and chrome black leather, bursting jeans. So he's obsessed with Cox. That's all we know. And then he's connected to Altamont, through the Hells Angels and the Rolling Stones, which I'm going to get into. So, yeah. Okay. And then I want to say that the Ford Foundation gave Kenneth Anger a $10,000 grant for this film.
Interesting.
So we see this again and again where these big think tanks and the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the British National Film Finance Corporation are funding his projects when it takes him a decade to even release the film. So it's like, what are they throwing money at? It's very, very, very bizarre. Okay, so this is like up to the 60s. We're at the 60s time, 1965, 1966.
Can
He
I,
releases it. Oh yeah.
did he ever meet Crowley in person?
No, so Crowley died in 1947. So I'm going to touch on that a little bit. Jack Parsons did meet Crowley, though.
He did.
Yes, because Jack Parsons was in the OTO Lodge, the Agape Lodge in LA. So he actually was around when Crowley was still alive at the end of his life.
And
So.
Crowley at least knew about him, and that I don't take that show very seriously, but they show in there that Crowley writes a letter to the, I forget, what do they call the head of the lodge, the mage,
Yes.
and he tell and to tell him that Jack Parsons is ready to move to the next degree or whatever, even though they'd never met him before.
Yeah, it's like their titles are frater or some shit. It's very, very bizarre. But okay, so at this time, Hollywood Babylon has sold a lot of copies, 2 million copies, and he's kind of enmeshed in Hollywood and the popular culture at this point. And in 1966, he decides to release the Sacred Mushroom Brother version of Inauguration of the Pleasure Dome, where people take acid and then watch this very surreal, creepy film where there's one eye symbolism, there's drinking out of the Scarlet Woman's cup, there's all this creepy shit. And so Kenneth Anger ties into the Laurel Canyon thing as well, because he was friends with all those people as well. He was friends with Tuesday Weld, which Tuesday Weld, in Tuesday Weld's film, Lord Love a Duck, she was inaugurated as the Illuminati High Priestess. And in that film, there's Charles Manson pre-predictive programming 3 years before the murders.
Tuesday Weld is one that's really, really interesting to me. I'd heard the name before, and then I like again I heard Sean McCann talking about her
Yes, and the Cosmic Peach.
on I haven't heard that episode yet, but I heard him talking about her on a episode of PsyOp Cinema. But yeah, she's the sister, is she the sister of Bill Weld?
She was great, I think it was her great uncle or something. I can't remember.
The Welds are like this old school New England,
Boston
Massachusetts,
Brahmic,
Boston Brahmin
yes.
family. And Bill Weld was the governor of Massachusetts, maybe.
Massachusetts,
And
and
then he,
he was a member of the CFR as well.
yeah, and he was also the vice presidential candidate on the Libertarian ticket under Gary Johnson in 2016.
Oh, wow. I did not know
That's how
that.
I knew about him. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Yeah, and so she's kind of this kind of like Marjorie Cameron, where she's very high in the occult. Definitely, for sure. So let me see where I am. So I wrote this down that Anger's fame came from association with well-known celebrities, and he was a social chameleon. He developed his prowess and oftentimes his rage as the connections and friendships took a sour and even violent tone. So he had a falling out with Bobby Beausoleil. He had a falling out with Jimmy Page, which I'll talk about a little bit. And so everyone he kind of gets close to turns on him, or he just creates a lot of chaos in his path. That's kind of what we see with his story. Okay, so this is when it gets really interesting. This is when he's making a film called Invocation of My Demon Brother and Lucifer Rising. So he meets Anton LaVey, the founder of Satanism, and his daughter, Xena Shrek, aka Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And he's really adamant that they are good friends despite their differing ideologies. So he Anton LaVey is a Satanist, he's a Luciferian, but they have this common ground of the Anna of Horus kind of destabilizing the societal norms, right? So at this time, he wants to create an epoch to Lucifer, like kind of an inauguration into Lucifer's reign and the Anna of Horus. He tattoos the name Lucifer on his chest.
Yeah, you can
And
see
you,
pictures of it on the
yes,
internet.
exactly, when he's an old guy. And then at that time, he's looking for, okay, who can play Lucifer? Who can be my guy? Because he's this like super gay guy. So he has all these hangers on and guys after him, right? And he settles on Bobby Beausoleil. Bobby Beausoleil was the founder of the Magic Powerhouse of Oz. And some accounts say that they were lovers, other accounts don't. So I'm not quite clear as to their re real relationship, but they were definitely very close. And they were making these films. And then in 1967, they had a falling out. And you've talked about this before on your podcast, The Death of Godot Pilatus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
Vito Palakis is like
yes.
the old is like this old hippie guy, but he's too old to be like a hippie. So it's sus from the get-go, but he has all these like hot hippie chicks and they show up to especially the birds, I think it was.
Okay.
The
Yeah.
birds couldn't play even play their instruments. And they would show up on the scene to like these shows where they knew the music was going to be crap, but they would like dance all crazy and the chicks would get their take their tops off and stuff. And it would attract people to come see them and it would like create this fanfare around the scene. And that's like the way that they dressed and stuff kind of became the hippie uniform. Like it wasn't really established that that's the way that hippies dressed before him. He had a little 2-year-old son, right? And they would do this real bad stuff to him. I can't, it's in Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. They talk about it. It was either like at the log cabin, which was Frank Zappa's place, but they would like pass this little 2-year-old kid around
Oh
and
my God.
fillet him. And then
Jesus.
the story was he died falling through like a falling through a skylight off on the roof or something like
Okay,
that.
so yes, I wanted you to talk about that because that was apparently on the set of Lucifer Rising, Kenneth
Okay.
Anger's film. So this apparently happens, which is very similar to Crowley in that the Abbey of Thelema, there was apparently a boy that was sacrificed and raped, and that's why Mussolini threw out Crowley out of Italy.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I've heard
so
about
it's
that.
kind of similar. And basically, he was said to have taken a lot of LSD. in 1966.
The
And I
little
think he was
kid?
only, yeah, I think
He
he
was like
was like,
two or three or something.
yeah,
Am I
yeah.
wrong?
I can't, I don't have the date for how old he was, but I think he was between the ages of 2 and 7. He was definitely
Yeah.
under the age of 10.
Yeah, definitely under the age of when you should be taking LSD.
Exactly. So it's at this time that Kenneth Anger publishes in the Village Voice in 1967, In Memoriam, Kenneth Anger, filmmaker, 1947 to 1967. Then he reappears, I think, in New York and publicly burns all of his films when he was a child. So we have this very strange juxtaposition of 1966, Goday Palakis dies, and then 1967, Bobby Beausoleil's stolen the footage from Lucifer Rising. So it's like almost like maybe that was the footage of him dying or something like that. And then we have Kenneth Anger doing this weird fake eulogy for himself at the same time. And what, like I said, with Mike Williams, Crowley died in 1947. 1967 was the summer of love. So Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Aleister Crowley is on the cover two
Yeah.
times. Two times. Once over the other time cover. And then in Sgt. Pepper, it says 20 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. Well, that was when Crowley died.
Yeah.
So we have this whole weird 1947, the Black Dahlia murder happened in 1947 as well.
So, Mike Williams says he thinks that Sergeant Pepper is Crowley, right?
Yeah, so if you read the memoirs of Billy Shears, the man that is playing Paul McCartney, because Paul McCartney was sacrificed in 1966 in a car crash, that guy is supposed to be above 33rd degree Freemason. And he kind of talks about maybe being related to Crowley or at least being like under the tutelage of Crowley in his book.
The replacement.
Yeah, because he says something about like my family did 9/11 and I don't feel really good about that. It's really weird.
If you go back and you want to
Yeah.
hear some stuff about that Beatles stuff, go find Mike Williams, Sage of Quay on
Yes.
Crow. I think he did a couple this last summer, and those are really good.
Yeah, he's like everywhere. He's a very good researcher. I would highly recommend Did the Beatles Write All Their Own Music? That's a 4.5 hour documentary.
Yeah.
And he basically proves that there's no way in hell that they could have written everything they wrote. So yeah.
Yeah, and that goes back to Tavistock.
I have Tavistock right here. So basically, fire, flames, burning are all synonymous with Luciferian doctrine. Lucifer is the light bearer to all flaming teachings. And I just thought that was interesting because I learned about that recently, how Lucifer was closest to God before his fall. Like he was the exalted angel. And then he became prideful. So
Yeah.
I just thought that was very interesting. In 1968, Kenneth Anger meets John Paul Getty Jr. And I don't know if you ever read the Crazy Days and Nights blog, but in that blog, they implicate the Getty with human trafficking and pedophilia as well.
Yeah. I remember when that Sedan stuff was really going off the chains, and that was he used to go on all the shows and just blow them up. That was good stuff. He used to go on William Ramsey. I remember he'd be on Tinfoil Hat stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, so it just kind of was of note to me because he's like gushing over this guy who's kind of a pedophile, just like Hinsey. And then in 1968, he meets Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Anita Pallenberg in Europe. And this is the same time he meets Donald Kamel, who or Camel, who's in his film Lucifer Rising. And basically, Donald Kamel and Kenneth Anger both utilize the Rolling Stones in their films. So Donald Cammell puts Jagger and I think Pallenberg into performance, which was his kind of film. And then basically, Kenneth Anger's like, okay, I've got all this money. I'm gonna film Invocation of My Demon Brother with Anton LaVey, Marianne Faithfull. Kenneth Anger plays himself, Jagger, and Keith Richards. And Jagger composes the soundtrack. But then, like I said, Kenneth Anger always kind of alienates his friends. So eventually, Jagger and Marianne Faithfull turn on him. They pull out of the film. And then that's when the British National Film Corporation finances Kenneth Anger. And the British press is in uproar because they're like, this is, you're filming a devil film, you
Yeah.
know? And so that's what kind of goes on. And then in 1970, he meets Jimmy Page. And this is a very interesting place of his juncture because basically they're both adherents of Crowley, and Aleister Crowley lives in Boleskine House, which is, or sorry, Jimmy Page lives in Boleskine House, which is where Aleister Crowley did a lot of his dark workings.
Yeah, on Loch Ness.
Exactly, yes. So Kenneth Anger lives with Jimmy Page and his wife Charlotte for a while. And then eventually things go bad. Charlotte kicks out Anger.
At the
And then,
Boleskine Manor he's living.
yes. And then basically he has a press conference where he's like, Jimmy Page's old hat, I'm gonna put a Kenneth Anger style curse on him. And then after that, Jimmy Page doesn't really have a vibrant career.
Yeah, isn't there
After,
something that he got like
yeah.
terrible writer's block or something? He couldn't write anymore.
Exactly.
And
And he's in a super group called Them Crooked Vultures with Josh Homme and Dave Grohl, which is pretty good. But other than that, he really hasn't done anything. And so it is kind of weird how Kenneth Anger kind of has this aura about him, if that makes
Is
sense.
he the one from Led Zeppelin who made did
Yes.
his son died too and stuff like that, and a bunch of bad stuff happened to him? Was that him?
I can't remember if he was the one whose son was sacrificed, but
Okay.
yeah. Okay. So you're not gonna believe this. So Paige pulls out, and then Bobby Beausoleil agrees to do the soundtrack from prison.
So
Okay.
Bobby Beausoleil is a member of the Manson family,
Okay, yeah.
who was he present at the murders?
Okay, so Bobby Beausoleil was convicted for the murder of Gary Hinman. And yeah, he lived with Gary Hinman in Topanga Canyon when he met Manson in 1968. And then basically in Helter Skelter, Victor Bugliosi says that Hinman was killed over a drug deal gone wrong. So apparently, this is what Bobby Beausoleil says. He says that they sold a bunch of bad mescaline to this biker gang. And then the
Satan's
biker
slaves,
gang,
right?
Satan slaves, yeah.
Yeah, Venice.
Or no, straight Satans.
Oh, the straits. Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard of this shit. And then they demanded their money back. And then it was really just a drug deal gone wrong. So he's still in life prison for this charge.
He's
And
still
he knew,
around.
yeah, and he knew Susan Atkins. They were friends. Anger was friends with Susan Atkins as well. So, like, he's just totally tied to the Laurel Canyon shit. Like, 100%.
Yeah.
So, okay. So,
So
there's a
Bobby
lot to get
Beausoleil
through.
did the soundtrack from prison. Is that what?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Tracy Prison. I think he like did, I don't know, something about like he used like the preacher of the prison to help him record the sound or something.
Yeah.
Like it's weird.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay. So there's like there's enough footage to make Invocation of My Demon Brother, but then there's also footage that Anger wants to make for Lucifer Rising, which is the Aeon of Horus, basically kind of like inauguration of the Pleasure Dome, where everyone plays gods, Isis, Osiris, Lilith, Hermes, that kind of shit. So in 1981, he releases Lucifer Rising, which is 30 minutes. It took a decade for Lucifer Rising to even be released.
You ever watched it?
Yes. Yeah.
I watched about 15 minutes of it. That was enough for me. It's
Yeah, don't watch Inauguration of the Pleasure Dome. It's worse.
just... Yeah.
It's worse. So he again, he plays himself. And then around 1982, he retires. He is kind of done with Hollywood. And he's in need of money, so he publishes Hollywood Babylon in 1980s. Okay. So I wanted to kind of talk about this in front of Deborah because I wanted to explain Thelema, but I feel like you understand Thelema really well. So I have like 19 pages of notes.
Yeah,
So I don't.
go ahead and get into it. I don't know if I understand it very well. I know it's
Okay. Okay.
what's the relationship between the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, and Thelema?
So OTO is kind of the main branch of Thelema. There's also the Astra Argentum. That's more of a
That's
secret
like the advanced
society.
one, right? That you have to
Yeah,
like.
it's
It's
kind
like
of like,
the
oh,
Shriners to the Masons
yes,
or
I
something
was
like that.
exactly
Like you
gonna
got to
say
go
that. The
through.
Jesters or the Order of the Moose, like the Loyal Order of the Moose, John Wayne Gacy was actually a member of.
Yeah.
So, New York Patriot does a really good series on that.
Yeah, we had him on to talk about Gacy. He
Yeah,
was on our
yeah,
show.
yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good with the true crime stuff too.
Yeah. But So yeah, so it's just Astral Argentum is the advanced levels of.
Yes. Basically, if you prove yourself in the lower ranks, then you are invited to be a member of the Order of Quetzalcoatl or Astra Argentum. You know,
Or like becoming,
they're.
or like getting to the 32nd degree, and then not
Yeah.
everybody gets asked to go above
Well,
there.
yeah. And Mike Williams says that, you know, basically there's many orders above the 33rd degree.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Cool. I don't know if it's cool, but. Okay, so Thelema was established in 1904. It's a fusion of Eastern and Western esotericism tradition as Kabbalah, Hermeticism, and Tantra, which espouse extreme transgression of social boundary and taboo. That's what we see with the sex magic, the left-hander path. And then spiritual development is liberation of the individual will. So Crowley always talks about the will, right? And the Aeon of Horus would be free of the will from the oppression of the matriarchal and patriarchal aeons of Isis and Osiris. Okay. So it's all about two into one religion. I don't know if you watch Quantum of Conscience channel, but he always talks about they're always trying to take, you know, Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. So that's kind of their MO, and they kind of follow that to the T. Crowley is all about frenzied sex magic and like using drugs, taking things to the extreme limits, because Luciferianism is kind of like how celebrities have this face of being philanthropists and good people, and then they're horrible people behind the scenes, right?
Right.
That's what Luciferianism espouses, is you have to have both extremes. You have to be the lightest light and the darkest dark. Whereas Satanism is more material over spiritual, like just do what you feel. Luciferianism is more like it does have a goal, but I don't know if it's a right goal, in my opinion. And then Crowley said that the male orgasm is the supreme mystery of practical magic, and that man is the center of the cosmos above God. So that's. And it's funny that Kenneth Anger says that, you know, what I've done is kind of what we're seeing in the world right now. Because I really feel that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
just the fact that people kind of are worshiping themselves now, I think, is that what you're talking about? I mean, atheism is at a all-time high, probably. I think it's probably after the last 3 years, a lot of people like me went the other way, because of it. But yeah, it seems to me like all this stuff is just a way to make people worship the material and not anything higher. And all the
And to only
do as
be
thou wilt.
concerned with the material.
Yeah. And
Definitely.
I see that heavily in the new age, and then just getting watered down to young people today who don't even know what they're talking about or doing or anything, but they're
It's
worshiping
really
themselves and
frightening.
celebrity and all that.
It's really frightening because I told you I was teaching overseas, so I was with a lot of foreign kids. But now I'm with Amer I teach in a, or I'm a para. I do special ed. I'm not teaching, but I'm in a school with kids. It terrifies me. They don't know anything. They don't
Yeah.
know their address. They don't know how to tell the time. Basic facts they can't retain. We have to repeat things 100 times and they still don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that COVID period, I mean, it was all arching and we know what it was all about, but really to disrupt the kids because they had like 2 years where they weren't doing anything and that
Yeah.
really set them back.
Yeah, it broke a whole generation, and at some point that's the generation that's gonna supposed to be doing stuff for the benefit of the world. And it's not gonna, I mean, it's not great now with people running stuff, but
I mean, it was
yeah.
bad when I was a kid, but it's nothing like it is now. It's, I mean, with the phones and the instant gratification,
Yeah.
I mean, they have absolutely no attention span. So they're not going to be doing podcasts like me.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah. I hope I get to have kids, and then 'cause my
I
kids
know.
are gonna just rule the world. If people have kids and raise them to do the if I'll, I just want to I'll just raise my kids like it's the 80s, and they'll destroy everybody, you know.
I hope that too. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm gonna kind of end on Kenneth Anger. I have a lot more, but I feel like we've kind of touched on the main points.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about. He talked about, you know how like the Native Americans feel that if you take a picture of them, you steal their soul?
Right.
So he said, my reason for filming has nothing to do with cinema at all. It is transparent excuse for capturing people. I consider myself evil working in an evil medium. And so basically, like, he talks about his films as casting spells on people because they're not aware consciously of the symbolism that's being presented, but their subconscious mind is actually absorbing it and taking it in and iterating it into their own lives.
Yeah.
So that's kind of his whole thing. And if you watch his films, you do get a sense that it's a dark art that you're not really privy to. So yeah, so that's okay. And one last thing about him. The Ford Foundation funded him. John J. McCloy was the founder of the OSS, which
Okay.
became the CIA. And he was chairman of the Ford Foundation from 1958 to 1965. He employed U.S. intelligence assets in a covert cultural war against the American people. And Arunda Roy connects the Ford to the Rockefeller Foundation. So Ford and Rockefeller both funded Anger, and then Rockefeller founded Kinsey. So.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So it's bad news bears.
that's a good that was awesome, Amy. We can hang it up there, and we can get you back on when Deborah's
Okay.
available so you get to meet
Do
her
you
and we can do
want to,
another one. This was
should I,
fun
hey,
though.
could I do Kinsey with her? Because I
Yeah,
think
that's what I was gonna suggest.
she needs to know about that.
Yeah, and I think that would be a lot of fun to see her facial features when we're talking about Kinsey
Okay, can I just
and
read one quote
how
from
he
him?
yeah how he said that when a child cries, that's them having an orgasm.
And they're enjoying it.
Yeah, run, let's hear a quote.
Okay, I'll read two quotes.
So
So
this is
children,
a Kinsey quote.
this is Kinsey. Children could, with the assistance of an experienced adult, enjoy sexual activity from the moment they were born.
Yeah.
Yikes. And then the second
And
one is
you know who are some good experienced adults that he could hire are pedophiles who are in prison.
right? And then okay, the second one, all sex are outlets between dot 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 boy and dog, man and boy, girl or baby. There is no abnormality. And
Yeah.
okay, you were talking earlier about your wife going to school and studying Kinsey. I took a human sexuality class when I was in college, and my teacher was a zoologist, and the one thing she said was everything goes except for bestiality and pedophilia because animals and children cannot consent.
Yeah.
So Kinsey in the 50s was trying to say children actually benefit from incest and pedophilia. They'll be better people because of it.
Yeah, I can't remember the quote, but it was from some sexologist professor from San Francisco. They talk, it's in the start of Program to Kill where they say the same thing.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, we'll save all that to freak Devin
okay.
out
Oh, thank
super
you so
bad.
much for
But
letting me come on again.
yeah, Amy, tell everybody what you got going on and how they can find you and listen to
Okay.
your awesome research.
So mostly I'm on DLive. So DLive.tv/Amy_Lane. And then I'm also on YouTube. I have a tra my travel videos, kind of old world, mud flood, that kind of stuff, from Thailand and Europe. That's gonna be Amy Lane. And if you put mud flood in, it'll come up. So yeah, that's and I'm on Instagram as mud flood girl.
Yeah. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. Just DM it to me after we're done. I'll throw it in the show notes. But I really
Okay.
enjoyed this. It was fun to just
Thank you.
talk, and it's awesome to get to meet you finally. So
Yeah,
we got
same
to do
here.
it. So
Yeah, I was very nervous, but thank you so much
oh no,
for
you did great. Until next time, Amy, thank you so much. And
Yeah.
we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.